Margaret Owino works with Solar Cookers International, which has spearheaded many successful projects in Eastern Africa, teaching women to use solar cookers.
Wow! My goodness, rice!
My passion has been, as a person, working and spreading the news that the sun can cook.
Margaret is working on some of her country's greatest problems, from poverty to health and ultimately the environment.
See how dry everything is.
This place is called Bugo, which means a big deep hole. And this has formed over the years because of soil erosion. And so this land is now useless, just continues to go away. But if we promote this solar cooking and people start to plant trees and take care of the trees, we can prevent something like this.
Margaret and her colleague Dina are in Western Kenya, trying to tackle some of the crises brought about by diminishing wood resources.
This is very serious. The cutting down of trees is going to cause a lot of problems for the people of this area. The soils become very fragile, and when it rains, there's soil erosion. When the winds are very strong, topsoil is carried by the wind, and that means low agricultural production, farming in the area, less food to cook. And not many people have money. Sometimes they can live for days without having a single cent. But if their environment can provide for them, you can go out and pick vegetables. You can go out and pick a fruit. You can still be able to feed. But with the soil degradation, lack of plant cover and the fauna cover, and the land not being able to produce enough food, then the people get even more vulnerable.
What an interesting idea, that obviously if we can depend on the environment to sobrevivir, to survive and to sustain ourselves. That is a short clip. That's actually the introductory part of the brief documentary. It's actually a short documentary of about 20 minutes, produced by Catherine Scott and produced with Deep Dish TV, distributed by Deep Dish TV. It's called Sun Cookers, A Solution Rises Every Morning. And I tell you, I've been watching a lot of documentaries lately, mostly depressing, about the global condition. And this is one where I left with a smile after watching it, and I was so content to see that this is such a productive process that's being done in Africa and Kenya in particular, but I would imagine on a continental scale and hopefully on a global scale as well, this idea of sun cooking, but the philosophy behind it. And I have it's a pleasure for me to welcome you, Margaret Owino, to the station here at WBAI. Margaret Owino is the subject of the sun cookers, but and the brainchild of it, and she's with Solar Cookers International. Margaret Owino, welcome to WBAI. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Of course, this is just a brief kind of introduction, which perhaps left a lot of listeners wondering, what exactly are we talking about, sun cookers?
We are talking about a technology that is able to use the sunlight to cook food and to pasteurize drinking water.
Mm-hmm.
And this technology has been in existence for a long time, since the late 19th century. But I think because of the world focusing on fossil fuels, it was put on the back of everything. But now with the degradation and the concern and the depletion of fuel resources, people are getting back to thinking about what are the alternatives.
Mm-hmm.
And solar is the source of all energy on Earth. The sun has clean energy, environment friendly, and it's plentiful for many, many people. For example, 2.5 billion people use firewood to cook their foods on a daily basis. And these 2.5 billion people live, some of them, most of them, live in the sun-rich regions of the world. So this is the resource God gave them, didn't give them the oil, so they need to use it.
Mm-hmm. And what they're doing instead is knocking down trees and using that wood to cook, and at the same time polluting themselves, polluting their lungs, which we'll talk about in a second. But let's talk about the situation, particularly in Kenya, which is, I would imagine, where you started this process. Obviously, the deforestation has been tremendous, and watching the documentary, it had some statistics that I was, my jaw dropped hearing them. Could you talk a little bit about that, the impact impact that deforestation has had in Kenya.
Yes, there is a lot of stress brought to the country and to the person, you know, the individuals within that country. Kenya has produced Wangari Maathai, the Nobel laureate, but she has been on the forefront in fighting for environmental conservation. And one of the things that has happened is that in her recent document, she said Kenya only has 1% of the forest cover. The world body recommends that we have at least 10%, but Kenya has only 1%. When the video was taken, we could have talked of 3%. But you can see it's only 2 years since the film was made, and we have already gone to 1%. So some of the common stresses that affect people, if we come to the household level, the very common person, is that the women get the stress. And the women are the producers, not only of food and other things, but also of the human beings that exist. They mm-hmm. help to bring them naturally in the world. So if they are stressed out because she cannot be able to cook a meal, and in Africa mostly people eat cooked food.
Mm-hmm.
We cook our vegetables, and we cook all our cereals, and we cook our corns and everything. So a woman is defined by her ability to cook food and to put a hot meal before her family and in-laws. And if she's unable to do that, she's not considered worth anything. So this is stressing the women. And in addition to that, they now have to use little sticks, very, very little sticks. And these sticks normally are green. They are not even dry, well dried. So she's cooking over smoky fires. In most cases, a woman in Africa may be assisted after getting a baby, maybe for 1 week. And the next week, she is with this young little Kenyan in the smoke. And by world standards, it's said that it's like that baby smoking 10 cigarettes a day. And this is causing a lot of deaths, not only to the child, but also to the mother, because women suffer from respiratory problems. Some are even socially being discriminated against as witches. Their mm-hmm. eyes are so red all the time because of the smoke. Their noses are always blocked. Their throats and voices are no longer sounding the mm-hmm. way they sounded before. So apart from these health effects that we have had, we know that maybe cooking alone may not have been the cause of deforestation. There's mm-hmm. a lot of human settlement.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. It's been exacerbated by the refugee problem in Kenya,
yes.
And this is duplicated on a continental scale as well. Talk about that and how that has also been a motivation and perhaps a key component of the work that you're doing.
Yes. One of the things is that Solar Cookers International was founded here in Sacramento in the U.S. and in 1987, and they started to promote the solar box cooker. Then in 1994, the Rwanda genocide motivated them to think of a technology that is easy to transport, easy to carry. Even a five-year-old child can carry, and easy to set up and use. So the Rwanda genocide, which was a refugee situation, motivated them to do this. And once they perfected the technology, it's called the Cookit, they looked around and said, where can this be actually used rather than just be a toy maybe or a camping thing.
Mm-hmm.
They consulted with the people on the ground in Kenya in 1994, and they were directed the best place where there is need and the sunshine is the refugee camp. So the first project we ever had was started in 1995 in Kakuma refugee camp,
mm-hmm.
where 80,000 people live together in one place. These people not only need firewood to cook their food, they need some logs to try and put up structures to live in and shelters. So this has made the situation and an area which had acacia forest to be completely deforested.
Mm-hmm. It's unsustainable. It's completely unsustainable.
It is unsustainable. And the camp administration brings in lorry loads of firewood every 3 months to divide little pieces of bunches to the refugees. And this is why we felt that this was a real good alternative. it is available, the sun is available to everybody and can be used.
Okay, let me remind listeners, we're speaking with Margaret Owino, who is with the SCI Nairobi, the Solar Cookers International, based in Kenya. Tell us how it works. Describe it for us in a nutshell, how this works. Because I would imagine that when you come up with these, looking at them visually, you come up with this, you go to a refugee camp or you go to another place where you're proposing this to women who are traditionally used to cooking with wood, and this is a global thing. I mean, in Guatemala, in Colombia, Mexico, everywhere you go, they're cooking with wood. And you show them this contraption, they're probably looking at you like, what are you talking about? I'm not going to use this. I'm not going to cook my stews and my rice and my whatever with this thing. So describe it, and then also talk about the reaction that people had to the idea.
Yeah, it's very interesting that they say also that necessity is the mother of invention.
Mm-hmm.
And when people are pressed to a corner, they look for alternatives. So this is the situation we are in. Women have to, on a daily basis, try and look for little sticks. And they are now looking for alternatives on their own without even us looking for them. For example, when we started the project in Kenya, not in the refugee camp, we looked for an organization to work with. And 153 organizations applied. They knew that this was a good alternative. They thought it was good for them. But anyway, what we do is when we go into a community of women and men, we will approach the community from the point of view of how the community is set up. If it is a male-oriented community, we will first of all go to the men. We will do a demonstration. We'll cook the foods, the local foods around there. We'll let them feast on the foods, and we'll tell them, what do you think? And of course, always it is a thumbs up, and they say, this is what we needed. Where have you been? And then they'll tell us, okay, anyway, cooking is a women's business, so now you go to the women. So they have given us an okay, we can go into the community. And how the solar cooker works, most solar cookers, is a solar cooker is a technology. It could be sophisticated, it could be very simple like the Cook-It, but it works mainly from reflection of sunlight. The collector, which is the cooker itself, helps to concentrate sunlight onto at the central point, and the central point is usually the black pot, a pot or a container painted black to absorb sunlight and convert it into heat energy. And this process cooks the food. Some solar cookers have insulation, like the box solar cooker. Some of them are very sophisticated, like the parabolic concentrator cookers. They focus light at a particular point. But the Cook-It is so simple, it doesn't cook very fast. It takes twice as long as the firewood cooking. And it cooks very slowly and gently, keeps in the nutrients.
And it doesn't burn, right?
It will not burn the food. It will give the woman time to sit back, maybe relax, or sit back and do some other things. And we were talking about stressed out women.
Right.
And we are here giving them a chance just to put it out there in the sun. And they're so happy with it that they will even put it up on a coffee table.
Right. So what is the I guess we can say, the amount of emergence that this has all over in Kenya? I mean, is this being duplicated, and is it being duplicated elsewhere in Africa and then even on an international level? Because, again, based on my travels, I've seen just about everywhere I go in Latin America, that's exactly how they're cooking, and they're also suffering from the same problems of deforestation and the environmental physical harm that causes to the personal health.
Yeah, thank you for that question. One of the things that is happening is that Solar Cookers is a small organization, and it needs a network mm-hmm. to work with to reach out to all these people who are suffering in the world. So it started in Kenya so as to learn lessons from it and therefore expand these lessons. And we are so happy that this DVD will now enable us to reach out to people and to teach them and make them aware. But one of the things is that there's need everywhere, especially for women and people who cook over the fires and all the ills that go with it. However, the political will is what is lacking here.
And a part of whom?
I think the whole international milieu. I will start with having been in the refugee camps. Refugee camps are UN-mandated territories. And having shown that this works, is a good alternative for the refugees, we felt as an organization, small as we are, that the UN should have taken it up and continued giving it to refugees everywhere in sun-rich regions of the world. And this is not happening.
The technology doesn't appear to be too expensive either. It's just it's very
$7.
Yeah, it's
$7 a piece. Mm-hmm. And they are ferrying lorry loads of firewood from one area of that country, deforesting one area of that country,
right,
and bringing it into the camp.
Mm-hmm.
So the UN system has not woken up to that reality yet. The local governments, national governments, have also not done that yet. For example, you'd want to see the Minister for Energy, even of Kenya. It's very difficult to reach him and to show him, even if you were going to, you know, just show him from your own resources. It's very difficult also because most governments speak of big hydro plants, geothermal plants, when they're talking about renewables. And nobody's talking about the household. And we think that the household level is the basic of human existence.
Absolutely. Well, we're quickly running out of time. So you're here in New York. Are you going to be speaking anywhere? I think last night there was an event that took place, but are you going to be speaking anywhere or kind of maybe presenting the video? I'm not sure if I'm sure our listeners, you've probably piqued the interest of our listeners. Is anything like that planned?
For this season, I think I'm done. Going home tomorrow. But we did have a good audience yesterday when we launched the DVD. And I think, as Didi Halak says, they are going to be distributing it from the Deep Dish. And so it's going to be available for people to see and to learn from and as well as to teach from.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's great. Didi Halak is with us, filmmaker, media activist, educator. There's so many ways we can introduce Didi Halak, but definitely behind this film. So you're going to be pushing it through Deep Dish, I would imagine.
Yes, it'll be available on our website, and also we hoping that next time Margaret comes, we can arrange more of a tour for her to speak in different places. So if people are interested in that, they could call Deep Dish. The number is 212-473-8933.
And at the website.
And the website is www.deepdishtv.org. I took Margaret yesterday to a school on the Lower East Side, and it was a wonderful event, so we're hoping to set up more events.
That would be great,
like,
and on a national level and on an international level, because, again, the lessons are global.
Yes.
So thank you, Didi, for drawing attention, calling attention to me of this phenomenon. I think it's great. And, again, as I said, the video is one of the few that I've seen recently that actually made me feel good after watching it. And thank you, Margaret Owino, again, from the Solar Cookers International, based in Nairobi. Hopefully this won't be the last time we'll come across each other once again.
Thank you very much. I'm very proud to be here, and I'm grateful.
Okay, great. And again, the number for Deep Dish TV is 212-473-8933, and the website is deepdish.org. My name is... deepdishtv.org. At Deep Dish, you might end up ordering pizza or something on the internet. deepdishtv.org.